Welcome to Stash's podcast. This first episode is an audio walkthrough of the Girl Guides of Canada Unit Guider Handbook. It's the document you'd otherwise have to sit down and read cover to cover, and it's a lot, so the idea here is to put it in your ears. You can listen while you're driving, folding laundry, walking the dog, or getting ready for a meeting, and come away with a working picture of what your role is, how the guiding program is built, and what to expect through the year. A quick note on what the handbook is and isn't. It's the official guidebook for unit guiders. That's the term Girl Guides of Canada uses for the volunteer leaders who run a weekly unit. The handbook gives you the shape of the role, the values behind it, and the practical mechanics of running a unit safely. What it does not do is hand you week-by-week meeting plans. Those live elsewhere, in something called the program platform, which is a digital activity library. The handbook keeps pointing you back to it. So as you listen, when you hear a phrase like search for this on the program platform or find it on member zone, that's just the handbook flagging that there's a more detailed resource you can look up later. You don't have to remember those references in the audio. Just notice the shape of the answer. Okay, let's start at the top. The handbook is organized in four parts. Part one gives you an overview of guiding and your role. Part two covers the parts of the unit experience that are the same across every age group. Part 3 breaks down what's different for each age group, which Girl Guides of Canada calls branches. And Part 4 is the appendix with contact information and quick activity ideas. Let's start with the overview. The guiding year runs roughly with the school year from September through May or June. Girls meet weekly in groups called units, and units are organized by age into branches. There are 5 branches. Sparks are ages 5 and 6. Embers are 7 and 8. Guides are 9 to 11. Pathfinders are 12 to 14, and Rangers are 15 to 17. Outside of the standard branch units, there are 2 specialty tracks. T-Rex, spelled T-R-E-X and pronounced like the dinosaur, is for girls 12 to 17 who want to focus on camping and the outdoors. T-Rex can either replace a regular unit, or you can be in T-Rex and Pathfinders or Rangers at the same time. And Lones is for girls of any age who can't attend regular meetings, so they work one-on-one with a guider, virtually. Most guiders never see loans in practice, but it's worth knowing the option exists. Your role as a unit guider falls into 4 big areas. You build relationships. You plan and lead activities. You support the unit's administration. And you uphold guiding values. Building relationships means getting to know the girls in your unit, getting to know your co-guiders, and staying in touch with caregivers throughout the year. Caregiver is the handbook's term for whoever's responsible for the girl at home, which might be a parent, a grandparent, a foster parent, anyone. You'll send them updates, answer their questions, and welcome new girls and guiders into the unit at any point during the year. Guiding doesn't have a hard September cutoff for joining. Someone can show up in February, and they're a full member. Planning and leading activities means picking activities from the program platform, gathering supplies, running the actual meeting, and managing behavior in a way that's appropriate for the age group. You're also planning the special things, like sleepovers, field trips, ceremonies, and outdoor adventures. Supporting administration is the paperwork side. You track which badges each girl has earned so you can order and present them. You handle the health and safety forms. You participate in the cookie campaign, which is the organization's main fundraiser. And you submit expenses to whoever is acting as your unit's treasurer. And upholding guiding values, that's the heart of the role. You're creating a safe, welcoming space. You're following diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility policies. You're modeling the code of conduct that everyone in guiding agrees to. And you're representing the mission and vision of Girl Guides of Canada to the girls and to their families. The vision, the handbook says right up front, is a better world by girls. That's the through line. Now, you're not doing all of this alone. A core principle in guiding is that no single guider is in charge of a unit. You lead together, as a team, sharing skills and responsibilities. Your team will cover several specific roles between you. There's a unit treasurer, who manages the unit's bank account and handles cookie payment deadlines. The treasurer can be a guider, or it can be a caregiver who isn't a guider. There's a purchase card holder, who carries the unit's credit card. The card is linked to the unit bank account, and the card holder has to be a guider, but it can be the same person as the treasurer or someone else. There's a communications contact guider who receives Girl Guides of Canada emails and shares them with the rest of the team. There's a cookie contact, who's the point person when the cookies arrive. And there's a responsible guider, who fills out the safe guide paperwork for activities and events. The responsible guider doesn't have to be the same person for every event, you can pass that around. Every unit needs each of those roles filled. Internal support and forms for each of them are organized on something called Member Zone, which is the internal digital resource library. Think of Member Zone as the staff intranet for guiders, and the program platform as the activity library. You'll be in both. A practical tip the handbook gives, and it's worth pausing on, is to spend time at the beginning of the year talking with your co-guiders about how you're actually going to share the load. Not just dividing the formal roles, but answering questions like, who introduces and explains each activity, who keeps an eye on the time, who responds to a girl who needs support during the meeting, who's a planner versus who's better in the moment. Talking it through up front saves you stepping on each other's toes later. The handbook also suggests questions like, what is our vision for a great unit meeting, and how will we know if our meetings are going well? Setting those expectations early makes everything that follows easier. You can also pull in help from outside the team. Caregivers can be invited to volunteer, either as registered members or as non-member volunteers. You can keep a running list of caregivers who are willing to lend a skill, like coming in to teach the unit something they know, or coming along on a field trip. Some adults who help out will need a police records check, often shortened to PRC, depending on the situation. The Safe Guide resource will tell you who needs one. And when the girls want to do something outside your team's expertise, the handbook encourages you to invite a guest speaker or plan a visit to a local organization. Guiding is supposed to be embedded in the community, not isolated from it. Now we get into the part of the handbook that's about safety, and I want to spend a real beat here, because it's central. Your top priority as a guider is the physical and emotional safety of the girls and youth in your unit. Every unit guider is required to complete Safe Guide training before volunteering. Safe Guide isn't just a document, it's a system. It's the policies and the forms and the planning tools that make sure activities are run safely. The Safe Guide section on Member Zone has resources called pocket planners, which are single-page checklists for common activities like going for a walk, going to the park, ice skating, selling cookies. Before you do an activity, you check the pocket planner. That's the discipline. On top of Safe Guide, there's a separate stream of support for what the handbook calls girl protection. Each region has girl protection advisors, and you can reach out to them directly with questions or concerns about suspected child abuse, or about how to proceed when you're worried about a girl's well-being. In every case of suspected abuse or neglect, you complete an incident and girl protection report, which you find on Member Zone under Safe Guide forms. The handbook is very direct about this. Reporting isn't just a policy, it's the law. There's no judgment call there. If you suspect, you report. The advisor's email addresses are organized by council. Alberta Council, which also covers the Northwest Territories and Yukon, has its own address. Nova Scotia has its own. Ontario Council, which covers Ontario and Nunavut, has its own. And all other councils share a general Safe Guide address. You don't need to memorize those, the appendix has the full contact list. Beyond the formal reporting stream, there's a softer but still important category, which is girl well-being. Sometimes a girl will trust you with information that isn't a reportable issue, but that still needs attention. The handbook's guidance is, if you're concerned, contact her caregiver and complete an incident report. You can assume the caregiver will take it from there. Closely related is the broader notion of reporting incidents in general. The handbook lists examples of what counts as an incident worth reporting. Any illness or injury, any conflict in the unit, between caregivers or between volunteers, behavior issues, exclusionary behaviors, religious celebrations in the unit space, and inappropriate conduct by a caregiver or another guider. The way to think about it is, if something happened that you'd want a record of, file the report. The form lives on Member Zone under Safe Guide forms, same place. You also let your district commissioner or community guider know. Those are the volunteer leadership roles above unit level. The next section the handbook covers is diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, often shortened to DEIA Girl Guides of Canada, explicitly welcomes girls and women, both cisgender and transgender, as well as non-binary people who are comfortable in spaces that focus on the experience of girls. The handbook lays out what every member should be able to say. I belong, I have a place to go where I'm accepted, and I am open to listening to other people's ideas and perspectives. As a guider, you put this into practice in several ways. You embrace diversity by planning activities that reflect different identities and lived experiences. You can bring in different perspectives by visiting museums or galleries, reading stories, or inviting guest speakers. You also vary how you give instructions. Some girls follow spoken directions easily, some need to see pictures, some need to see the action demonstrated. Giving the unit multiple ways in is just good teaching. You use inclusive language. You're mindful of assumptions. You ask the unit how they'd like to be addressed as a group, whether that's friends or guides or something else. When you welcome someone new, you can introduce yourself with your pronouns if you're comfortable doing so. That signals to the new girl that this is a space where she can share hers if she wants to. You encourage self-expression by helping the unit explore what matters to them and by giving them creative outlets like art, storytelling, or movement. You commit to accessibility by making sure that everyone, regardless of ability, can participate meaningfully. The handbook gives concrete examples. Chunk instructions, just one or two steps at a time, so it's easier to follow. Instead of always running an activity, let girls choose how they move their body. Offer drawing as an alternative to writing. Have a quiet activity or quiet space available when someone needs a break. And when you're planning an overnight, consider a day-only option for the girls who aren't ready or able to spend the night. That last one is small but meaningful, because it lets a girl participate in something that would otherwise exclude her. Tied to DEIA is the concept of creating safer spaces. A safe space is one where girls feel supported, can be themselves, can be silly without feeling self-conscious, and can explore their values knowing they'll be taken seriously. The handbook gives a set of practical strategies for building that kind of space. At the start of the year, you invite the girls to help create the group's guidelines. Co-creating the rules gives them ownership. You frame the rules positively, so instead of "don't interrupt," you say "listen when others are speaking." You check in on the guidelines throughout the year, and you ask the girls what they need to feel comfortable. Some need quiet moments. Some need a chance to share their thoughts. You focus on positive behaviors. The handbook suggests reframing corrections, so instead of saying "you shouldn't," you say "have you considered?" You involve caregivers when necessary, because they often have insight into the girl's behavior that you don't. You model a growth mindset. You openly discuss mistakes, including your own, and you show that there's no single right way to complete a task. You validate both positive and negative feelings. You let girls know it's okay to be sad, angry, or uncomfortable. When a girl shares something with you, you listen first, and then you ask what kind of support she's looking for. A hug just to listen helps solving it. You don't assume. You provide engagement options. Standing, moving, sitting, all of those are valid ways to participate. You have a separate quiet area available. You make participation optional, but you don't hesitate to ask twice. If a girl passes on something the first time, you can come back and ask her again later, gently. That gives her room to change her mind. You encourage connection by sometimes dividing the unit into smaller groups, and you mix those groups thoughtfully. Pair up girls who don't already know each other. Change the mix throughout the year. You address conflict head-on. If an inappropriate remark happens, you step in. You start from the assumption that people's intentions are good. You distinguish between questioning, which is fine, and challenging, which has to be respectful. And you encourage the girls to solve their own problems, supporting them when they need help, but not solving for them. There's a related policy point on secularism. Girl Guides of Canada is a secular organization. It welcomes girls of all faiths and of none. There's no religious programming, no songs that reference any deity or religious figure. But if a girl in your unit needs to practice her religion during a meeting, you're expected to accommodate. The handbook gives an example. If someone is fasting, skip the snack that week. Your job is to explain the secular policy positively, not defensively. Rather than singling out a holiday that not everyone celebrates, the handbook suggests thinking about what people like about it. Gifts, costumes, food, and then finding a way to do those things in a way the whole unit can join. A friendship gift exchange for World Thinking Day, for example, or a costume party for Earth Day. That gets you through Part 1's chapters on safety and inclusion. The next stretch of Part 1 is the practical logistics of running a unit, which is quick. What to bring to meetings? A basic supply kit with art supplies, quiet corner activities like coloring sheets and fidget toys, a first aid kit, extra seasonal outdoor clothes for the girls who arrive underdressed, game supplies like balls, and a safety binder with blank incident reports, blank first aid forms, health forms, an emergency response plan, the contact information for your meeting space in case you get locked out, and a handout on what to do if you suspect abuse. The handbook codes these forms by number, like H.1 and H.2 for health forms and SG.4 for the emergency response plan. You don't have to memorize the numbers, but it's useful to recognize them when you see them on member zone. Unit funds and expenses. At the start of the year, you ask your unit treasurer how much is in the unit bank account, and the team agrees on a budget. You provide receipts and use the unit's purchase card where you can. You can register for direct deposit, so reimbursements come back quickly. Then there's a year at a glance section, which is genuinely useful because it lays out the rhythm of the year. Late summer, you find your roster on member zone and check it every 2 weeks, you send a welcome message to caregivers, you welcome any new guiders, and you meet with your team to divide responsibilities. Fall, you email caregivers with the practical information like first meeting dates and contact info. You consider hosting a Bring a Friend meeting if your unit has space. You hold enrollment and badge distribution. You plan a field trip. You sell the Chocolatey Mint cookies, and you order cookies for spring. Winter, you celebrate World Thinking Day on February 22nd, and you plan a sleepover. Spring, you sell the classic cookies, you hold advancement and badge distribution, the treasurer completes year-end reconciliation, and the team talks about roles for next year, who's returning, who isn't, and what's coming. That rhythm, summer, fall, winter, spring, gives you the shape of the year. Cookies are big enough that they get their own chapter. Cookie sales are the organization's primary fundraiser, and your unit receives a portion of the funds raised from each case sold. There are two seasons. Chocolatey mint cookies in the fall, classic chocolate and vanilla sandwich cookies in the spring. The handbook lays out a 10-step campaign, and it's worth knowing the shape even if you don't memorize each step. Step 1 is planning with your co-guiders. How many cases do you want to order, which guider will place the order, and who will be your cookie contact? Step 2 is placing the order, which you do via a form that opens on a specific date. You get an email when it opens. Step 3 is pickup and storage. The cookie contact gets an email saying when and where cookies are ready. They confirm who's coming to help pick up. They count the cases twice and sign for them. Then storage. Chocolatey mint cookies between 10 and 22 degrees Celsius. Classic chocolate and vanilla cookies below 28 degrees Celsius. Not in a freezer, not in a hot trunk, not in a sunny window. Step 4 is preparing for sales. You run a unit meeting about cookies, often using one called the Cookies Instant Meeting, and you go over safety tips using the Safe Guide Pocket Planner for cookie selling. You also prepare the families. There are 12 boxes in a case. Each box is $6. Each case is $72. You explain that, you provide each caregiver with a tracking sheet, and you invite them to visit girlguides.ca for sales tools. Step 5 is handing out cookies to registered families. You use the unit cookie distribution form to track who took what, and you only distribute to girls registered on the roster. That last detail matters legally and for accounting. Step 6 through 10 cover the rest of the campaign: tracking sales, handling money, doing returns or exchanges, and reconciling at the end. The cookie sales page on Member Zone has the templates and the tracking spreadsheets. The principle is, treat the cookies like inventory you're accountable for, because you are. The last topic in Part 1 is digital resources, and you've already heard the names of the two main ones. The program platform, at experience.girlguides.ca, is the activity library. It's where you find the activities, where you log meetings, where you track which girls have earned which badges, and where you print certificates. Member Zone at mbr.girlguides.ca is the internal resource library. It has the Safe Guide page, the Cookies page, the Unified Banking page, the Member Zone chart that tells you what's under each tab, and the volunteer training paths. You'll be in both throughout the year. That wraps up part one. Part two of the handbook covers the parts of the unit experience that are the same across every branch. The promise and the law, the girl-driven approach, the program areas, badges, traditions, and the basics of getting outdoors. The promise is the heart of guiding. It's how girls publicly commit to the values they share with girls all over the world. The exact wording is different for the youngest two branches. Sparks have a short promise. I promise to share and be a friend. They make the spark sign while reciting it, which is the first two fingers of the right hand held up, representing the two parts of the promise. Embers have a longer promise. I promise to do my best to be true to myself, my beliefs, and Canada. I will take action for a better world and respect the Ember Law. Embers make the guiding sign, which is the right hand raised to shoulder height, elbow down, three fingers upright, thumb bent, and holding down the little finger. Each finger represents a part of the promise. Guides, pathfinders, and rangers all share the guiding promise. I promise to do my best, to be true to myself, my beliefs, and Canada. I will take action for a better world and respect the guiding law. Same hand sign as the embers. The law and the motto come into play during enrollment and advancement ceremonies. Sparks don't have a law or a motto. The Ember Law, as an ember, I am honest and kind. I help take care of the world around me. The Ember Motto, lend a hand. The guiding law, used by guides, pathfinders, rangers, and adults. The guiding law challenges me to be honest and trustworthy, use my resources wisely, respect myself and others, recognize and use my talents and abilities, protect our common environment, live with courage and strength, and share in the sisterhood of guiding. The guiding motto, be prepared. There's also the guiding handshake, which is left-handed. The story behind that, the handbook says, goes back to a legend about warriors laying down their shields, which they held in their left hand, to greet someone with trust. It's a small detail, but the kind of thing girls love to know. The girl-driven approach is the how of the guiding program. The idea is that the girls themselves are in the driver's seat. They choose what they want to get out of guiding, and they get real opportunities for leadership and decision-making, both inside the unit and in the wider community. There are five components. Create safe space so girls can share their experiences and talk about what matters to them. Motivate growth mindset so girls step out of their comfort zone. Encourage positive identity so girls explore who they are and challenge stereotypes. Share leadership so girls work in partnership with the guiders rather than just receiving instructions from them. And engage community so girls get involved in the causes they care about. How girl-driven looks in practice depends entirely on the age group, which is why each branch section in Part 3 has its own girl-driven strategies. A spark who's 6 and a ranger who's 16 can both be in the driver's seat, but obviously not in the same way. The Girl Guide program itself is built on 8 program areas, and these are constant across the branches. Each program area has 3 themes. Let me walk you through them. The first program area is Guide Together. It explores what it means to be part of guiding in Canada and around the world. The 3 themes are our story, where girls connect through guiding stories and traditions, the spirit of guiding, where the unit comes together with songs, games, and celebrations, and global guiding, where they learn about the worldwide movement. The second is Into the Outdoors. It's about exploring nature. The 3 themes are nature discoveries, which connects girls with the wilderness wherever they are, even in the city, camping skills and adventures, which builds outdoor know-how, and our shared planet, which is about environmental responsibility. The third is build skills. Life skills, money, careers. The 3 themes are money sense, which is budgeting, saving, spending, life stuff, which is leadership, communication, time management, careers, and how-to, which is hands-on skills like fixing a bike, basic first aid, or baking from scratch. The fourth is explore identities. The 3 themes are being you, which is personal identity, values, beliefs, and self-esteem. Different together, which is celebrating diversity in the unit and community. And gender power, which is about girl empowerment, feminism, and the specific barriers girls and women face. The fifth is experiment and create. The 3 themes are science lab, which is chemistry, physics, forensics, astronomy, design space, which is making, building, robots, and code, and art studio, which is creative expression through visual arts, drama, music, and movement. The sixth is Be Well. The three themes are My Mighty Mind, which is mental health and emotional skills, My Physical Self, which is understanding how your body works and listening to its cues, and My Healthy Relationships, which is the relationship skills to handle conflict and stand up for yourself. The seventh is Connect and Question. The three themes are local communities, which is the people and places around you, Canadian connections, which is heritage and citizenship, and world stage, which is global issues and what connects people from different cultures. The eighth is Take Action. This one is structured a little differently from the others. The three themes are your choice, which is finding what you care about, your voice, which is learning to advocate, and your action, which is actually getting involved in your community. Each program area gives you a focus. Each theme is the slice within that focus. Badges are how the unit celebrates progress. There are 32 badges available at each branch level, 16 at Sparks, and so on. Girls can earn a theme badge by completing activities in that theme, and once they've earned 2 theme badges in a program area, they earn the program area badge. The recommended number of activities is 6 to 8 for Sparks and Embers, and 8 to 10 for Guides, Pathfinders, and Rangers. For the Take Action program area, the structure is different. To earn it, the girls complete an instant meeting called Explore Your Passion Under Your Choice, an instant meeting called Driving Change Under Your Voice, and 1 to 3 actions under your action. Embers and Guides can also pursue special badges called Discovery Badges, which go deeper into a particular topic. And Guides, Pathfinders, and Rangers can earn formal awards, which combine program activities, camping, leadership opportunities, and community service. The Lady Baden-Powell Award is the Major Guides Award, and it's named after the wife of the founder of the Scouting Movement. 2 important points on flexibility. First, guiders are encouraged to use their judgment when awarding badges. There's no audit. The fun and memories matter more than the box ticking. Second, the program is not all or nothing. There's no pressure for a girl to complete every badge or finish the full program. Girls join at different times of year. They have lives outside of guiding. The point is to give them a path, not a checklist. You display badges however you want. Some sew them onto a sash, which can be worn as part of the uniform. Some pin them onto a hat. Some sew them onto a blanket. There's no official layout. It's the girl's choice. That brings us to uniforms. The uniform is encouraged but not mandatory. There are no uniform inspections in guiding. The standard uniform is a Girl Guides of Canada branded navy blue t-shirt or tunic available from the Girl Guide store. Beyond that, girls can wear a branch tie and a badge sash if they want to. Adults can wear an adult scarf and a pin tab to show off pins from trainings and awards. Ceremonies are a meaningful tradition. The most common are the enrollment ceremony at the start of the year, which welcomes new members, and the advancement ceremony at the end of the year, which recognizes girls moving up to the next branch or completing the girl program. You can do these as a unit or invite families. Search for ceremony on the program platform to find ideas and printable certificates. Guiding names are another optional tradition. Many guiders go by a nickname like Sparkle, Ruby, or Chickadee. The name might be a gemstone, or borrowed from a previous unit or camp, or chosen by the unit itself. Whether to use a guiding name is entirely up to you and the girls. World Thinking Day, on February 22nd every year, is one of the most important days in the guiding calendar. It's been celebrated since 1926, and it's the day when 10 million girls worldwide think together about a big issue facing youth, things like poverty, inequality, access to education. The World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts releases themed programming, and provincial councils often plan special events around it. Getting outdoors is a recurring theme throughout the handbook. Outdoor activities are one of the main reasons caregivers say they choose guiding for their daughters. The progression goes from simple walks at Sparks to overnight camping at Embers and Guides to more adventurous camping at Pathfinders, Rangers, and T-Rex. The handbook gives a set of strategies for getting outside successfully. Build confidence. You don't have to do an entire meeting outdoors. 15 minutes in the park counts. Pick an activity that fits your unit's energy. A quiet unit gets a nature study activity, a rambunctious group gets a wide game where they can run. Stay safe. Use the SafeGuide pocket planners for walks, parks, ice skating, and other common activities. Assess the outdoor space before the meeting starts. Make safety rules together so everyone knows what's expected, and have each girl call out a rule during the headcount. Set up a lost and found spot the girls can return to if they get separated. Manage the group. Do a headcount before every transition. Use a buddy system with the younger branches. Move in what the handbook calls a guider sandwich, with one guider leading and another bringing up the rear. Songs are good for keeping the group together while you walk. Plan for weather. Have caregivers drop the girls off already dressed for outside. Remind everyone to dress for the season, sunscreen and hats in warm weather, hats and mittens and layers in winter. Bring extra gear for the kid who forgot or whose hat got soaked. And have a bad weather backup plan with a no materials filter on the program platform for indoor games you can run with zero prep. Communicate with caregivers about your outdoor plans up front. Start the year with a meeting that explains what to expect, what the girls will need to bring, and leave plenty of room for questions. That trust is the foundation for everything you do outside. And ask for support. Reach out to your community guider or district commissioner. There are guiders with years of outdoor experience who are happy to share. Special activities round out part two. These are the experiences that happen inside or outside of regular meeting time. A trip to a fire hall during a meeting. A sleepover, a bowling night, a guest speaker, a bridging event with another unit. The principle is, think about what your unit is into and what's available in your community. The Safe Guide has an A to Z of activities list with ideas, and the program platform has a filter for it. That covers part two. Now into part three, the branches. Each branch chapter in the handbook follows the same shape. Meeting structure, openings and closings, the girl-driven approach for that age group, planning, age-appropriate behavior management, getting outdoors, badges, insignia, and any branch-specific awards. So rather than reading them straight through, let me walk you through what's distinctive about each branch. Sparks, ages 5 and 6. Meetings are about an hour weekly. The structure is a 5-minute opening, with the spark promise and a song, then 10 minutes of sharing time in a circle, often called a friendship circle, then 40 minutes of program activities, which the handbook recommends running as 2 or 3 different 15-minute blocks, with a mix of quiet and active, and then a 5-minute closing. The girl-driven approach for Sparks recognizes that a 5-year-old isn't going to plan an annual calendar, but she can absolutely shape her experience by sharing her interests and her choices. The handbook recommends making it easy for Sparks to express choice through visual options, stickers on a poster, standing at different stations, a collage where they draw the things they love. The Sparks don't run the meeting, but they're not passive either. Planning with Sparks means working in small increments. Choose activities 1 month at a time. Use the first month to set up try-it stations across all 8 program areas so the girls get a sample of everything before committing. Try a spark of the week so the quieter girls get a turn making a choice. And build a unit calendar together by drawing pictures of the seasons on chart paper and voting on what to try first. Behavior management at this age is its own art. When sparks aren't paying attention, give directions 1 step at a time, in short sentences, with role play or demonstration alongside the words. Create an attention grabber signal, verbal or nonverbal, that the unit understands. Provide extra challenges for the older sparks because there's a real developmental gap between 5 and 7. When sparks are bursting with energy, plan 20 minutes of organized physical activity each meeting. Vary group sizes. When sparks get upset because they didn't win or something didn't go their way, be patient. They're inwardly focused at this age. Remind them of the results of their actions, offer frequent reassurance and praise, and encourage them to help each other. Getting outdoors with sparks means short outings, simple walks, lots of supervision, and dressing for weather. Caregivers, sunscreen, hats, mittens, the works. Embers, ages 7 and 8. Meetings are 1 to 1.5 hours. The opening is 10 minutes or more with the Ember promise. Some units use Ember circles as part of their opening, then 45 minutes or more of program activities with quiet and active mixed, then a 5-minute closing. There's a story called the Ember story that some units tell, which gives the branch its identity. Embers can earn Ember Discovery badges in addition to the standard program area badges, which let them go deeper into a specific topic of interest. Planning with Embers is a step up from Sparks. The handbook suggests starting with icebreaker games, a unit collage, a top five survey at the start of the year. There's a feedback technique called two stars and a wish, where you ask the girls for two things they liked and one thing they want next time. That short ritual is something you'll see in a lot of Ember's units. You can also try a Dipmocracy, which is just voting with sticker dots, where each girl gets a few votes to put on the options she likes most. It's age-appropriate decision-making. To encourage exploration, the handbook suggests round-robin tasters with rotating stations, special helper of the week giving each girl a turn picking a short activity, and asking, "What activities are you nervous about doing? How can we get there together?" That last question is small, but it changes the relationship. It tells the girls that nervous is fine, and that you're going to help them, not bypass them. For age-appropriate behavior management with Embers. When Embers can't sit still or pay attention, mix short activities with movement, set up a quiet spot they can use, and break into smaller groups for focused work. When Embers are testing boundaries or being defiant, set clear expectations and explain the reasons behind your decisions. Embers who know the expectations behave better. When Embers swing emotionally, talk back, or behave impulsively, stay calm, never shout, speak gently, and always follow a "don't do this" with a "do this" instead. When Embers get needy or clingy, give lots of positive attention but praise the process more than the result, so they're not chasing your approval for every small action. The pattern across all of these: validate the feeling, set the expectation, model how to act. Guides, ages 9 to 11. Meetings are an hour and a half to 2 hours. Guides use what's called the horseshoe formation for the opening, which is the unit standing in a horseshoe shape with the guiders at the open end. Guides also organize into patrols, which are smaller groups within the unit that work together for the year. Patrols give the girls leadership opportunities because each patrol has a leader. The girl-driven approach for guides starts to look like real co-planning. The girls can vote on activities, pitch ideas, take more ownership of how the meeting runs, and even serve as junior leaders for younger units. The handbook is explicit that guides are capable of leading. You're not just letting them help. You're inviting them to contribute their skills and knowledge by leading a simple activity within their patrol. Planning with guides looks like a partnership. Use games, quizzes, and surveys to learn about their interests. Make use of patrol discussions to surface ideas. Invite third-year guides, the ones aging up to Pathfinders soon, to share what they enjoyed in previous years. Try a round-robin survey with categories like tried, never tried, interested, want to do again. Build the calendar in thirds or seasons rather than a year at a time. Have patrols take turns being responsible for the calendar. And practice asking open-ended questions instead of either-or. Instead of "should we go horseback riding in the spring or the fall," ask, "when does it make the most sense for us to go horseback riding?" That small shift gets you a richer answer. The behavior management at this age has its own flavor. When a dominant leader emerges and gets frustrated when others don't follow, model teamwork and consensus, be present at group activities, but in the background, and don't immediately rush to fix conflicts. Give the girls tools to resolve things themselves. When guides want to be treated like adults, but still have the needs of children, vary the activities so everyone gets a chance at what they love. Show that you value their ideas, and be ready to switch things up when fidgeting picks up because they're signaling they're done. When guides are anxious about failure, build confidence with physical, intellectual, and teamwork challenges. Involve them in planning and presenting the activities. Prioritize fun. The fun is what hooks them, and the confidence follows. When friendships get complicated and someone feels left out, watch for it and make space to talk about it. When humor is being used as a distraction, name it. Guides can earn guide discovery badges, and they can start working toward camping awards and the Lady Baden-Powell Award. The Lady Baden-Powell Award is the major guides award. Earning it involves a combination of program activities, camping, leadership, and community service accumulated over time. Pathfinders, ages 12 to 14. Meetings are an hour and a half to 2 hours, and the Pathfinders themselves get to decide how long each part runs. They can come up with their own meeting structure. Rather than patrols, Pathfinders use roles, and the unit decides which roles it needs and who fills each one. A Pathfinder unit may elect a chair and a vice chair to lead discussions. There's a Pathfinder activity called What's My Role to help the unit figure this out. The girl-driven approach at this age is real, and it requires a real shift in how you guide. The handbook asks you to ask yourself, am I leading girls in a way that increases their independence? At this stage, Pathfinders can explore the program platform on their own to like and favorite activities, and they can plan their own meetings. Your job is to invite them to identify their strengths and the skills they want to practice, and then engage them as experts in their areas of strength. You're moving from facilitator to coach. The behavior management framing changes too. Pathfinders need supervision with minimal interference. They want to be taken seriously, and you have to let them earn that by giving them room to mess up. The handbook recommends discussing gender, puberty, relationships, inclusivity, and diversity issues openly, because the girls are encountering all of those things in their own lives and they need a space to process them. Connect the program to issues they care about. Praise effort and strategies, not just outcomes. They build short-range and long-range plans for the guiding year, often with their guider's help. They take on overnight adventures and more serious camping. Awards at the Pathfinder level reflect the increased responsibility. Rangers, ages 15 to 17. Meetings are 1.5 to 2 hours, and rangers lead their own adventures and set their own goals. They're starting to explore careers and learn things like financial planning and home repairs. They take on active leadership in their communities, things like global development projects, eco-awareness initiatives, and teaching skills to younger girls through bridging events or as junior leaders. Rangers can build their own meeting plans on the digital platform once guiders have created the meeting shell. Like Pathfinders, rangers use roles and they can elect a chair and vice chair. The unit decides what roles it needs. The handbook is explicit that all decisions are made by the unit, not by the guiders. For rangers, the girl-driven approach is the whole game. Coming up with a plan and a budget for activities is itself a leadership exercise. The Ranger Rolodex activity on the program platform is one tool for thinking through roles. Bridging events with younger units give rangers the chance to teach, and many rangers serve as junior leaders in younger units, mentoring sparks, embers, or guides. That mentoring is a meaningful pipeline. The sparks at one end of the program will become the rangers and junior leaders at the other end, and they remember the guiders and junior leaders who showed up for them. Across all the branches, one common pattern. The guider's job shifts from leading activities at Sparks, to co-leading with patrols at Guides, to coaching and supervising at Pathfinders and Rangers. The promise stays similar but gets longer. The law starts at Embers, and the girl-driven approach is the through line. The older the girls get, the further you step back, but you're stepping back in all of them, not just the older ones. That's the branch tour. And then part four, the appendix. There's a contact list with the email addresses you'd want to know. General inquiries go to info@girlguides.ca, with the customer care team available 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. There are separate addresses for adult member and unit support, for diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility questions, for member zone technical support, for the Girl Guide Store, for the program platform, and for volunteer training. Every member in guiding has a personal identifier number that you'll be asked for often, so the handbook tells you to record yours somewhere safe. The guider websites list. The program platform at experience.girlguides.ca for activities, badge tracking, and printable certificates. Member zone at mbr.girlguides.ca for the internal resources. The Girl Guide Store at thegirlguidestore.ca for uniforms, badges, and swag. The national website at girlguides.ca for general information and quick links. Guidepost, which is a weekly newsletter that arrives in your inbox on Tuesdays. And the social media handles, which are at Girl Guides of Canada across the platforms. The Member Zone chart in the appendix tells you what's under each tab, which is handy because Member Zone has a lot in it, and it's not always obvious where to find a given resource. And the appendix includes a back pocket activity list. These are activities you can run with no preparation and no materials for the times when you have extra time in a meeting. The back pocket list exists for Sparks, Embers, and Guides with 10 activities each. The handbook walks through one example, Duck Duck Goose, with the classic version and a variation called the Fruit Salad version, where you call out different fruits instead of duck and goose. That's the spirit of the back pocket activity, simple, familiar, and always available. Okay, let's pull this back together at the end. You've now walked through the whole handbook. If you had to take away three things, here's what I'd land on. The first is the structure of your role. You build relationships, plan and lead activities, support administration, and uphold guiding values. And you do it as a team. No single guider is in charge of a unit. You divide responsibilities at the start of the year, you support each other through it, and you check in along the way. The second is the system of support that surrounds you. Safe guide for activities. The girl protection, advisors for serious concerns about girls. Incident reports for anything that needs a record. Member zone for the internal resources and forms. The program platform for the activity library. Your community guider and district commissioner for hands-on help. You're not making this up alone. The system is designed for the situation where you have a question, and the answer is, look it up here or call this person, and it's all there. The third is the shape of the guiding program itself. 5 branches by age. 8 program areas, each with 3 themes. 32 badges per branch. A promise that gets longer and a law that comes in at Embers. The girl-driven approach is the through line at every branch, just expressed differently as the girls get older. And a year that follows a predictable rhythm, fall enrollment, fall cookies, World Thinking Day in February, spring cookies, spring advancement. If you have those three things in mind, you're oriented. Everything else in the handbook is detail that you'll look up when you need it, and the handbook itself keeps telling you that. It is not asking you to memorize it, it's giving you the map. Welcome to guiding. Have a great year.